Are we out of Campari?
We're out of everything.
This is Tableside Mashed Potatoes. I'm Derek, and I'm here with Scott and Peter. And we have a guest today, and it's the COO.
COO?
COO. The partner of ZGM, where we work. And it's Mario Amantia. Hello.
Hey, hey, hey. Well, look at the applause. Thank you, guys, for the smattering of golf applause.
Yeah, we've got applause tracks.
Yeah,
we've got
I guess we tracks. Do that now.
Yeah. Well, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. And, I mean, I pretty much just cornered you social distantly in a print room, and I said, hey, it's time for you to get on the podcast. What are we going to talk about, though? And I had no idea. But you have something for us, which is awesome.
Well, yeah, I thought it might be interesting to talk about the correlation of high performing teams and businesses. And for a little background, I have coached at a very high level. I've coached at the university, the junior, and triple A midget level. So I've coached a lot of athletes that are now playing pro hockey and making way more money than all of us are. And
put together.
But I've also, you know, I've been able to coach some great players, both on the female side and the male side, who have gone on to great things. And Olympians like Haley Wickenheiser and Cassie Campbell a list of others. And then a lot of, on the men's side, you know, guys like Matthew Dumba, who've made the pro ranks, and a number of others. And then others like my own son, Cam. And I think that there, you know, as I've been coaching for many, many years, I've always found that there's a link between business and hockey, which obviously is what I've been coaching. And we can talk a little bit about that tonight.
Just very quickly, I had a very small hockey career. I don't know if you knew this.
I actually didn't, and it shocks me, Peter.
I remember we couldn't afford all the pads at the time. I don't know if we couldn't afford it. My dad just didn't want to invest in it. So I remember I had shoulder pads, and I had the pants and some shin guards, and that was it from the pad perspective. So I didn't have a can or anything probably more vital. But I remember going out and playing twice, and then I think I gave it up.
You're like, this isn't for me.
No. I'd like to think if I'd had a great coach, maybe I would have been further along. Yeah. Or pads.
I was going to say, built the confidence a bit.
I kind of look at guys like that I've coached, a guy like Jeff Snyder, who's a good friend of mine, who runs Elevate Lacrosse, a very successful lacrosse business. And Jeff, he had the opportunity to play hockey and go on a lacrosse scholarship to the University of Denver. And I would hate to see you, Peter, up against Jeff Snyder, because I think it would be one of the most humiliating things for you ever.
The Peter boxes.
Yeah, it wouldn't. You know what?
Yeah, I'd bite.
Peter boxes. Jeff fights. Yeah. And I'm gonna put my money on Jeff Snyder in a bout against.
Yeah, I'm not above fighting dirty though. Like, I don't think he knows the levels I would stoop to.
Yeah. Hey, you left the pads out for a reason, for mobility.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I'd be like, is that your mother?
I mean, you have the height of a goon, but I think you're more of a finesse player, really.
Yeah, I have delicate keyboarding hands.
Yeah, let's talk about the similarities a bit.
Okay, so to me, there's really, if you look at four attributes of winning teams, and I would say winning teams as they relate to business and as they relate to hockey, and again, I'm gonna say hockey, but it could be other sports as well. The first one is about functional excellence, and that is as a high performing hockey team, do you have the systems in place that allow you to compete against other teams and win? And in business, it's the same thing. Functional excellence to me in our business is, do we have the right processes that allow our team here to deliver on what we need to for our clients? Do we have a great content offering? Do we have a great creative group? Do we have a great product group? How do all of those functions really provide what our clients need? So to me, there's a very similar, there's a correlation between the two of those. The next step would be the physical and mental toughness. I think physical in our business. This is probably not as important, although we talk a lot about being healthy, and we talk a lot about, you know, doing what we should be doing to stay healthy and active in our personal lives to make sure that that translates to what we can do at work. But the certainly the mental toughness is getting through the challenges of deadlines, like quick timelines, and the stress that a lot of our team has on delivering a great creative product to our clients. So you look at that mental toughness that's required in business, same thing applies in hockey. Like you can't be successful unless you're physically and mentally strong. And the third one would be leadership and teamwork. And I think that, you know, when we look at our business, our leadership team is critically important to us because they represent all of the people within our company, and they're the voice, and they are the ones who are in the trenches and understand the challenges that all of our team is facing here. And the same thing applies when you're talking about sports, when you're talking about captains and assistant captains who are...
That was a very magical point you're making.
Should we pretend that was a sound effect that you put in?
That's when the readers turn the page.
Yeah. Apologies for that. But leadership and teamwork. So going back to that. So leadership, obviously, when you're talking about a high-performance hockey team, you've got your C's and A's, who your captains and your assistant captains who are in the room and are critically important to making sure that, especially all the young guys, like rookies that are coming in, understand what it takes to win, right? You have these 19-year-old kids that are coming into a high-performing sports team, and they do not have a clue of what it takes to win. And they automatically go from being, you know, in a junior environment where they're living at a billets to the next year making $1 million a year, and then on to making $4 or $5 million a year at 20 or 21 years old. So your senior guys, like, how critically important are those players in order to help the younger guys grow and develop? And if you don't have great leaders, it is impossible to build the culture and an environment of winning. And the same thing applies in business. If our leadership team isn't a great representation of the people that are working for them, we won't have success. So I kind of, that to me is the third point that's critically important in this. And the fourth point is, it's interesting, you know, when we kind of look at where what we're going through right now with COVID, it's that whole idea of it's a warrior mindset. It is, man, things get tough and it is not easy, and there's hurdles that are that come up all the time, and there's challenges that come up, and you have to be able to battle through that stuff in business. You have to be able to. If not, you won't succeed. And that's not only the leaders and the partners and the leadership team, but that's everybody within the company. You have to have that warrior mindset that says, "Hey, I'm going to be able to battle through adversity and be able to deliver on what I need to do in order to be successful." Yeah. So, yeah. To me, those are the four attributes that I think create a winning team. You know, whether you're talking about business or high performing sports.
Yeah, I really like that, and I like that it's. So I'm thinking of it through the lens of our agency, but it's so applicable to any business. Right?
Absolutely.
I'm curious about the first point that you made with regards to having those processes in place, because there's always a balance between, we'll just use the lens of a creative firm where you're like, we're going to spend the money on this stellar creative director who comes from this high performing agency or strategy director or whatever it is. And when we talk about talent, that stuff is really, really important. But at the same time, because we know that you need this magic recipe when you see sports teams, is like, well, you can't have everybody being Connor McDavid. You need the support, you need the process. And I think it's the same type of thing. It's, you know, if you had a bunch of people that were all just really aggressive or really cutthroat or whatever it is, trying to get to this or this or this, it's like, that works if you're playing one-on-one, that you'll win all day long. If you're playing on a high level team, that might not cut it, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. plus what you didn't mention that is important in that is the whole idea of a salary cap. Right?
Yeah,
the salary cap in hockey, cap in hockey exists just like it does in business, right? You might have that very seasoned, experienced creative director or strategist that comes in that is, you know, you got to pay top dollar for that person. Well, you can't pay top dollar across your entire company. You need that mix of younger and enthusiastic and up and comers. You know, you need the highly talented, highly experienced people. But as important as that is the energy of youthfulness of the younger kids that are coming out of university and college who are wanting to learn, wanting to be there, and have a bit of a unique skill set. It's the combination of all of that that creates that high performing team. So it's a great point. You can't have all of those. You can't have all of those players on your team and expect to be successful.
Yeah.
There's that other piece about having somebody new straight out of school, let's say, but they just know everything about what's going on. They keep up with the trends where maybe, you know, your team captains, they kind of just focus on the meat and potatoes and they know exactly what they've been doing and what they've been doing is always right.
Yeah.
And there's that bit of a threat too, right? Is, oh, okay, well, there's some new things going on now and we need to focus differently and pivot our team or our business in a different direction because this is just isn't how we do things anymore
in
2020.
Absolutely. And I think that if I make the correlation between hockey and business, you have that veteran who's been around, who's been in the league for 10 or 15 years, who understands a lot of what's required to win, but has maybe a little bit out of touch. And Derek, you nailed it. Like this younger group that comes in, the challenge for leadership, you know, when you get kind of older and, you know, you look at a guy like me who's been in the industry for a while, you really need to work hard at understanding, you know, what motivates these younger people coming in. And they do provide a critically important skill set that's needed in the business today that wasn't even 5 years ago, right? Like some of the things that we're doing now in our business 5 years ago is we weren't having discussions about it.
Yeah. My experience dealing with younger crowds really easy when they come in, especially millennials. So all you would do, if I was coach, make them all executive captains and do all the training through TikTok.
I have a friend, or actually we have a friend who's a director level at another agency, and you know they're talking about their philosophy to leadership, and they're like, there are kids coming out of school right now that are better X than I am. Mm-hmm. I'm a better X than my VP. Mm-hmm. But it's not about that, because when you're talking about one person, it's like, what am I able to contribute? What, 40 hours, give or take, a week? 45, maybe? That's the most we can expect of people. But if you understand how to scale your value so that, you know, you have five people underneath you and you understand what you're saying about their motivations, their level to learn, it's like, the 40-year-old veteran isn't going to be as fast a skater
right.
as the person who's just come up, but they're going to know things about the game, you know, strategically. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to see how things connect, mm-hmm. and they're going to be able to mentor and scale that value more so than if you're just asking them to skate, you know, at the same speed as the 20-year-old kid.
Yeah, what's cool about that and what's really important about that, I'm going to reference my favorite book that I've read in the last 5 years, and the book is by James Kerr, and it's called Legacy, and it's about the All Blacks, the New Zealand rugby team. The first chapter in that book is about character, and it talks about the character and what it takes to be an All Black. James Kerr basically traveled with the team and wrote this book and was able to experience what was happening as he was going through this season. And one of the first things that he witnessed was at the end of a game, they won the game, competed hard, they went around the room and they talked about their feelings, And then it was time to wrap it up. And two of the senior guys on the team, so not first year guys, not the trainer or the equipment guy, two of the senior guys grabbed the brooms and started sweeping the sheds. And he was blown away by this and trying to figure out that the whole message with that was nobody is too big to do these kind of tasks, right? So when you talk about leadership and when you talk about the senior guys and, you know, Scott, when you talk about what they bring to the table, it's something that's ingrained in how we approach things, right? Mm. It's an awesome, awesome story. And I think it's great for leaders to recognize that none of us are too big to do what would be perceived by others as being menial tasks, right? Whether it's a coach or whether it's a captain or whether it's a leader on a team that may not wear a C or A, or a leader, somebody on a leadership team in a company, when you do those things, it immediately sets a precedent for how you expect everybody else to act, right?
I spent all my childhood / high school in sports. And I remember just as a junior on the football team with a bunch of seniors, because I was big enough that I could play with them. Oh, I'd be doing the worst tasks in the locker room. It was awful. And it's like, it's almost like, well, what was it? What's the word?
Hazing.
Hazing, yeah, essentially. And like, even in business or at an agency, now you grab an intern and it's not about, hey, go get us a coffee or anything, or make buttons anymore.
Right.
It's like, hey, I have a real task for you to do. And they typically would blow you away with it too.
Right.
After they finished it. So.
Yeah. No, that's right. And I think that mentality about initiation and what you experienced in football was the same thing in hockey growing up, right? It's, you know, you get the rookies who load the bus with, they load all the bags on the bus.
Yeah.
It still happens today, I think, right? Mm-hmm. I think it sends the absolute wrong message about how you feel about the younger guys that are on the team. You want them to feel like they're a part of it, and you want them to feel like they belong, and you want them to feel like they're equal and contributing. And as soon as you do things like that, it almost becomes demeaning to them, right? You don't need it. It serves no purpose. And I look at that in the exact same way that you're talking about here, in terms of, yeah, you know, is there people that are going to play different roles in companies? For sure. But if I needed to make a button, I would go make a button. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't expect somebody else to do that if I couldn't do it myself, right? It's like, go make your own fucking button.
It's going to be a hard habit to break, right? Especially if you had to go through it yourself. I think I still feel like this somewhere, where it's like, oh, I had to do all this, so therefore you have to do that.
Yeah, right. Pay your dues.
Now I get to be the dickhead.
The bus. I've been waiting my whole career to be on this side of the table.
Go give me a coffee.
Yeah, last time you told somebody to go get you a coffee.
I never told anybody.
Well, there you go.
Fuck it up.
No, because you're a good leader. That's why. And you're a good human. And I think that that's part of it too, is having good humans on your team, right?
Yeah.
Because I just don't think that's part of our culture here, right? And if it ever became that, if we ever hired somebody that felt that was something that they could do, is assign those menial tasks to somebody, then I would say we probably made the wrong hire. Mm. It's not part of who we are.
Mm. So circling back to some of the things that you had talked about earlier about, you know, perseverance and grit. And I wonder if it's just maybe an incorrect or a misalignment on, you know, I'm thinking of, well, these guys got to pay their dues.
Mm-hmm.
And part of paying your dues and part of being part of having grit and part of building that idea of persevering through toughness, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just wondering if this is maybe why this is being perpetuated for so long, is we're going to make these guys load the bus. We're going to make this person get the coffee or do the menial tasks, because we think maybe superficially that by doing this, they're going to earn their stripes and gain respect for the higher level of what they're aiming for.
Where you're going with that is that, you know, if I go back to the fourth point that I talked about, the whole warrior mentality. So there's things that people do that goes beyond what would be expected. If you look at a warrior mentality in sports, so you know, Derek, you're a good sports guy. If you look at the Boston Bruins, which is your
Peter
team,
and I.
Yeah, just Blu-ray passed me. Yeah. Yeah.
You could have said, all you guys are great sports guys. Yeah.
I can't lie to you guys. But if I look at, so Derek is a big Boston Bruins fan, and he knows that that warrior mentality means, you know, that fourth line guy who is probably the least paid guy on the team is going to be the guy that's blocking the 100-mile-an-hour slap shot, right? Because he knows that's what he has to do to contribute to the team's success. And frankly, he does not want a Patrice Bergeron going down to block shots, because ultimately, if Bergeron gets hurt, he knows that that affects his opportunity to win, right?
That's the star player, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, that's a star player, yeah. The high-priced star player.
Yeah, he's like the boss of the team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
And then, but then you look at that, and you look, and you apply that to a business, the business world, and you go, you know, 2 weeks ago, there's a big RFP that comes out. Got some of our team here who are working until 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning to get an RFP document out, right? That's the warrior mentality as it relates to business for me. Mm-hmm. That's that person who goes, yep, I'm here, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do whatever it takes to help get this thing done and out. So that's how I would apply the warrior mentality to a business, to the business world, right? You don't get that unless you've got great people and great leaders. When I was going through my high performance coaching, and I had a mentor, a guy named Dave King, who was, you know, obviously NHL coach, great, great guy. And there were two things that he said that still stick with me today, and it was probably well over 20 years ago. So Dave King said, the players don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. So when you're talking about leadership, right? If you know that the people that are working with you, if they feel that you care about them as human beings, you're going to get the most out of them. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that he talked about that was important to me was talking specifically about hockey, and he said, hockey is like church. Many attend, but few understand, right? And what I took away from that was that there's a lot of people who watch hockey who don't get what goes on behind the scenes, don't understand what it takes to win, don't understand what drives individuals to be successful or what drives teams to be successful. And I think the same thing applies to business. I think that there's a lot of people who work at companies who don't get what it takes to be a successful company, and that's not their fault. It's just the reality of the situation, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard. It is hard to be a Stanley Cup winning team. That's why the teams that win it celebrate the way they do, because it's an incredibly difficult thing to attain. It's really hard to be a highly successful company because there's so many things that can get in the way of it not being that. So I think that, you know, one of the things that as I've been involved in owning and managing companies is trying to be transparent as we can be with our team in terms of where we're at all the time. We do our quarterly meetings. We try to keep people up to date, and we try to give them as much information that we think is important for them to know and understand without getting them freaked out about, you know, things when we're in tougher times, right? So it's that idea of it may look easy to be a successful company, but it's not. It may look easy to win a Stanley Cup, but it is not. It is an incredibly difficult thing to do. So I think it's again just tying it back to the topic of today. I think that there are very few companies that are really successful. There are very, very few teams that are championship teams, and there are even less teams that can repeat year over year and be either championship teams or vying for championship teams. And there's very few companies that can be championship companies and every year be vying to do that. It's just hard. And there's a lot of moving parts. And it, you know, hockey and hockey teams and ad agencies like ZGM are all built around people. That's what it is. It's not about widgets. It's not about products. It's not about anything else. It's all about the talent that you have. And if you have great talent and if you have that warrior mentality and if you have the processes in place, you'll be successful. And if you don't...
It's a lot better than the saying that stuck with me, which I don't know who said this. Remember, is... Or the beatings will continue until morale improves.
Yeah. You know, sadly, that was an old mentor of mine. That was a guy.
That's named, not Dave King.
No, it's not Dave King. But it was a guy who owned a company called Hayhurst Communications that morphed into Parallel, that morphed into Zero Gravity, that morphed into ZGM. Wow. And
Dynasty.
He said it jokingly, but it was probably 30 years ago. And his point on that was, if you don't shit on people, they won't respond positively. You know, positively. 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I'm pretty sure we'd be out of business today.
I love that it's not even like that. Performance improves. It's morale. It's not like you have to win, but you have to be happy you're getting the beatings.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Scott, but I think we should flip it on them and just start treating the leaders like shit.
What do you mean? You should start.
Yeah, good point. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks, man.
Yep. Bye.